Well, good morning, folks. This is Jason Kirtman, and you are listening to the Biscuits and Gravy Show. If you're listening, we've got a surprise for you, don't we, Jim?
Yes, we do.
Jim has had a vocal transplant. No, that is not the surprise. But Jim is acting a little strange tonight, and I think it's because he's tired. Oh, did I say tonight? I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay, the reason I said tonight is because we're actually pre-recording this show Friday night because Mr. Jim Montoya, Iñigo Montoya, or whatever his name is over there.
You has killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yes. Okay, it's going to be a long night, folks. So, Jim, are you back in gym mode?
I'm okay. I'll be all right.
I'm not doing any vocal calisthenics tonight. It's just too long of a day. And it's, you know, we got to pretend it's morning for the show because everybody else is listening Saturday morning, 7 o'clock. So, but we got a few things to talk about. We may not run our full length as we usually do, but we might. We'll just see what happens, right?
Yes.
So, how was your day at work?
Not too bad, actually.
You sound like you're losing your voice a little bit.
My voice is a little bit weird, but I'm actually feeling better than I have been in a long time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I've had a long day. I'm going to have a really long week next week. I may have over... part of my job involves booking appointments for myself with other people, and I may have overbooked myself. We'll see. So, it'll definitely be an interesting week next week. So, anyway, that's what it's all about, having fun. So let's get right into it, Jim, shall we?
Let's do that.
Do you have any shout-outs? We don't know who's listening right now.
That's right. So, Sir Joseph Martin of Lapeer County. And Richard Georgie at the north end of Rochester. Hey to you and everybody in the class. And I think that's it for this week.
I'll holler out to Paul, Master Sergeant Chez, retired. Sanchez, his show will come on in the morning. I'm waiting as we speak for it to upload into our Dropbox so I can get it programmed for tomorrow. But I'll just say hi to Chez. He's my good buddy. He calls me a couple times a week. I call him, and what an artist he is too. So those will be our shout outs for today. Seen any good movies? We're rolling right along. This is weird. This is really weird. I'm used to getting up early, getting my coffee, being a little dog-eared for the first 5 minutes before the show gets rolling, and now I'm like, let's hurry up and get it over with so we go to bed.
That is not good.
I know, right? But we're going to have fun anyway. So yep. Have you seen any good movies?
No, I've been a little bit busy for good movies.
Yeah, you're working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week now, right?
Well,
something along those lines.
I've been working 7 days a week, but only 12 the last 3 or 4 days.
Okay, all right,
but something like that.
Okay, well, for what it's worth, there's a series on Netflix called Strange Things or Stranger Things. It's an 8-part series. I watched that this week. It's reminiscent. It takes place in 1983. And it's kind of filmed like a horror movie would be, or a suspense movie in 1983. It has a lot of the characteristics of a good Stephen King movie, although it's not Stephen King.
Okay.
It's quite interesting, and they leave it open for another season. So,
but does it have Vincent Price in it?
Well, no.
No,
not even CGI Vincent Price.
Aww.
You gotta
love that laugh.
Yeah. I wouldn't dare even try to imitate it. Go ahead, Jim. You know you're dying to.
Oh, no. I would mess it up. He is the master. There is no doubt.
Doing that laugh in Vincent Price is like any comedian trying to do Morgan Freeman. It can't be done.
No.
Kevin Spacey is one of my favorite impressionists of all times, and he does everybody spot on except Morgan Freeman, and he comes pretty close, but nobody can do Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman can barely do Morgan Freeman. So But have you ever seen any of Kevin Spacey's impressions?
I think at some point I did. I think he was on some nighttime show, and I caught some of his impressions. He was really quite good.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. My favorite, I've got to say, of all the ones that he's done, there's two of them: Jimmy Stewart and Al Pacino. And because when he does them, he doesn't just do the vocal impressions; he does the facial expressions as well, which adds so much to his presentation. It's hilarious. So, well, go ahead.
I liked Kevin Spacey in K-Pax.
I saw part of that years ago and wanted to finish it, but I didn't get the chance.
And you need to. It's got an ending that leaves you scratching your head, but it's worth the effort.
Okay. You know, speaking of seeing movies that I never got to finish, I believe the year was 1985. It was a miniseries on TV, Shaka Zulu. Do you remember that?
I do.
I, as a 14-year-old kid, got so wrapped up into that. And the last night, I think, was a church night that they played it or something. And I set our old, it was a giant brick of a VCR to record it. And it recorded everything but the last 8 minutes. And I have waited my whole life to find it, and it's on Netflix. So I started watching it the other night, and can't do it. It's boring. I watched the first episode, and I'm thinking, I'm almost 46 years old. How did I stomach this as a 15-year-old kid? What has happened to me?
There are certain things that were just unbearably cool when we were young, and then you get older, and it's like, how did I stand this drivel?
Well, it's not like there wasn't any action or in it anything. Well, there was, at least that's what I remembered being 15. But when I turned it on the other night, it's a bunch of old English people talking to the Queen of England, which during the time frame was Queen Victoria, and they just bantered back and forth for about 30 or 40 minutes and didn't really say anything except that, you know, how English talk, or how they used to talk anyway.
If I went back and watched, what was that? There was a miniseries like that, Shogun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would probably go back, with my penchant for the martial arts and all things Asian, I would probably go back and feel exactly the same way as you did about Shaka Zulu.
Interesting.
Just a thought.
Okay, well, I feel better, Jim. Thank you. I feel much better now. Let me ask you this. How's the weather been in your neck of the woods?
It's been a little on the warm side.
Yeah.
Not like catastrophic. Certainly not what you're having to deal with. It gets up there and gets a little bit uncomfortable because I'm working in a shop, but I still can't complain because I get to stay in the air conditioning in the CMM room,
right,
which is pretty cool.
Well, here outside, it's been anywhere from 100 to 106 this summer. It's been extremely hot. Here in my little abode, we have two air conditioners. They're window units. I can't run one and run the other at the same time because it'll trip a circuit breaker. So it depends on what part of the house I'm going to be in. You know, I play like musical air conditioning units. So I don't think I mentioned this last week. We were going to. Seth and I made one of these poor man air conditioners that you see like on YouTube with the 5 gallon buckets.
Yep.
Yeah, we got 5 gallon buckets. We paid about $5 for both of them. We got two of them. Got a piece of PVC pipe, which we ended up not even using. We got a Dremel tool. Paid $50 for a Dremel tool. That was the biggest expense, and I figure, you know, that's an investment. Any man will tell you a Dremel tool is an investment.
Dremel tool needs to happen.
Yeah. We brought them home. We cut the... Oh, and we got a couple of $13 little small fans. Cut the lids down to where we could just set the fan face down on it. And then we cut a hole in the side where our PVC pipe was shaped like a Y. I thought I'd stick it... The bottom of the Y into the side, and then it would split off into two vents. And for some reason, I found out that just didn't work. All it did was seem to dissipate the air. It didn't seem to distribute it. So we ended up taking that completely off, and we got more airflow out just out of the simple hole in the side. I went and got two bags of ice, dropped it in the bucket, and the temperature cooled off in that room. It dropped about 12 to 15 degrees in less than 20 minutes. It was fantastic. Nice. I have since found that I can also get 2-gallon jugs of water, put them in the freezer, and then when it melts in these poor man air conditioners, they're still contained in the gallon jugs. I just stick them back in the freezer. You could do that 2 or 3 times before the plastic starts to weaken, and the last time it'll actually crack inside the 5-gallon bucket, which is no big deal. But I think the bags of ice actually work a little better.
They probably do, with the air being able to circulate around the pieces of ice a little better.
Yeah. Yep. But great project. What was that, Jim? Are you wiping your mustache again?
It's a little warm in here, and I could really use one of those air conditioners of yours.
Oh, okay. Huh. What is that, Jim?
That's my dog's barking.
Oh, okay. What kind of dogs do you have?
About 8.5 wide.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Are you playing with that app on your phone? Is that what that is?
I wouldn't do that to you.
You'd make a great lawyer. Yes or no question. There's no such thing as a yes or no question.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if you hear some weird sounds in the background during the show, Jim's got his new toy, which you had that some weeks ago back, but you just haven't had a chance to play around with it much, correct?
Well, I was having to do a lot of stuff on my phone, like using my phone for the show.
Right.
And now I get to have some fun.
Sounds like you're mixing drinks or something.
That was a fragmentation grenade.
Fragmentation grenade, okay.
Almost as entertaining as making mixed drinks.
Almost, I guess.
Well...
I talk mixed drinks, we're talking about strawberries and bananas.
Well, I was kind of going for the Monster with 7-Up.
Is that something real?
It's very good. It also keeps you awake for 18 hours straight.
And changes your voice into Inigo Montoya.
And it changes your voice into Inigo Montoya.
Okay. Oh, man. Hey, I found out Barack Obama and I have something in common this week.
Yes, what is that?
Well, we both have brothers that are voting for Donald Trump.
Wow.
Yeah, did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
He, and I'm trying to pull up the story right now. His name... Michaela, something like that. He lives over in Kenya, but he's, a legal resident of the United States from Maryland, I believe. And he does not like his brother's policies at all. He is flying back to his home state to vote for Donald Trump.
I like this guy.
I do, too. Can't hold his brother against him, I guess.
Not so. When he votes properly.
Malik Obama says, "Make America Great Again" is a great slogan. I would love to meet him. And you just might. Gonna vote for Donald Trump. Interesting. Speaking of presidential candidates, you know, here not too long ago, Hillary Clinton was vetting, I guess is the word, possible vice presidential candidates. And
okay.
She made all of the finalists in her decision turn over every social media username and password for their entire families.
Yeah, that's about what I expect out of the next big brother, or in this case, big sister.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, somebody called her the big mother. They, because it rhymes with brother. That's the only reason I can think of.
I guess.
Hillary Clinton Would you? I wouldn't. We can't trust her with national secrets, let alone Facebook passwords. Come on. I mean,
well, the fact that she's got the gall to even ask for it,
right?
I mean, good Lord.
Would you take a job, Jim, if during the interview they ask you for your username and password to your Facebook or your Twitter or whatever? Would you?
I think on principle, I would just have to say no.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, why? Because you're not just handing over. That's
you're cutting out, Jim.
That's the first.
Okay, you're back. Go ahead. Okay. On principle, am I back? You're back. You're not just handing over what?
You're just not handing over your information. You're handing over, you know, they get on there, and now any private bit of confidence somebody's placed in you,
right?
Now all of a sudden is at the disposal of a third party, who's, why am I trusting this person again?
Yeah,
because anybody that you should trust would not even think of asking you that. And then you got Hillary.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. She recently tweeted something that I don't remember what it came about. Tweeted something about something that Trump said that had to do with the DNC, and she refuted it and said, "How does it feel to put your stuff where it doesn't belong?" To which Trump replied, and I knew what he was getting at, slightly off-colored, "Ask Bill."
Oh!
Yeah. I would have responded to the question, "How does it feel to put something where it doesn't belong?" I would have responded, "You tell me,
Well, I'm not voting for you."
Yeah, well, I would have responded, "You tell me, Mrs. Server."
There you go.
Here's the case of the biggest case ever of somebody who put something where it didn't belong, classified information, on insecure personal servers. And she's got the gall to go that way with it? And here's another story I read here recently. I guess at the DNC, somebody took a picture of an immigrant woman who was in tears, and she took credit and said the woman was in tears because she was so happy that Hillary was the nominee and that she was going to change immigration. That's the story the Hillary camp put out. Well, the woman came forward and said, "No, I was crying because I was mad because I'm a Bernie supporter."
Oh.
So that kind of really bit her back pretty hard.
That's funny.
The thing is that we've learned with Hillary, you can't. You almost have to laugh at everything she says because you know there's no truth whatsoever to it. There's no substance. There's no nothing. I mean, the air in a bag of potato chips holds more value.
Right.
So why is this woman even... Why is she running? Why is she running, but why is she running? Why has she decided to do this? That alone, you know, if I was in a position where I had disgraced myself 1/10 as much as this woman has, I wouldn't go out in public without a bag over my face.
Well, and you kind of have to wonder why is the Democratic Party, do they really think this is the best they could do? I mean, the levels of embarrassment from the Democratic Party, you'd think they'd be just going, "Woman, just sit down and be quiet. Nobody. We have a half a dozen people in the background that are five times more respectable than you are. Please, just sit down."
And I hate to say it, but the Republican Party isn't too terribly far behind or behind that.
No. I would not disagree with you on that at all. It just...
Noel, I explained it like this one time. Here's why I vote Republican. A Democrat's going to tell you exactly what they're going to do, and then they'll get into office and do it. As a conservative, I don't like what they say they're going to do, and I don't like what they do. But they tell you right up front. Barack Obama said he was going to introduce healthcare. He did. Things of that nature. Now, there's been surprises along the way, don't get me wrong. Republicans will tell you what you want to hear. They like tickling your ears, getting into office, and then just going along with the status quo. And not really making any change. If that was the case, Obamacare, if that wasn't the case, Obamacare would be repealed. They would put a clamp down on the president's pen and executive orders, but they haven't.
Right. And for that matter, abortion.
We could go all over that conversation again.
How many times have they said, well, we're against it. Oh, we're going to do something about it. When was that going to happen?
Right. And it never has. Never has. So, hey, did you hear about this? You know how the NSA monitors our cell phone and texting information?
I've heard that they do.
Yeah.
How? I don't.
Well, they don't do it anymore. Not so much. They've outsourced it to a private company in Sweden. That came out this week.
Oh, is that ever just glorious?
It's bad enough that we don't have our privacy now, but now it's a global thing. So, yep, sure is. That's scary.
Well, we've been doing that kind of stuff for a while, and this is where I kind of started to get off of the Bush bandwagon. Now, don't get me wrong. I voted for the guy both times, but the second time around, I started to pay attention to some things that he said, mm-hmm. not second, third party information, but stuff that he said. We had that whole thing where there's supposed to be a number of our ports after 9/11,
right,
that the security operations were being outsourced to a company from the Arab Emirates. And there's supposed to be somewhere in the neighborhood of six of these. The first time Bush commented on it, he said, I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
Okay, well, that's a fail to begin with, because it's your job.
Yeah, Truman said the buck stops here.
And it really needs to when we're talking about national security, particularly after 9/11. No excuses. He should have known that even to utter those words... I mean, just tell me a good lie. Tell me you're looking into it. Tell me it's being handled. Tell me something. And then tell me you can't go into the details. But do not tell me, as the President of the United States, I didn't know about it. Don't tell me that. Then he turns around, and then we end up finding out that it wasn't six. It was somewhere on the order of 27 ports.
Mm.
And then the third time he speaks on it, he says, well... if I didn't think that it was a good thing for the United States of America, I wouldn't have done it. I'm like, hold on. How many times is this story going to change?
And that's exactly what's been going on in this last administration.
Absolutely.
Where the president, the commander-in-chief, the dictator, has said, it's good for us. We're going to do it. Well, you know what else is good for us? The Constitution. And
thank you.
Just because you think whatever you're doing is good for us doesn't mean it legal, doesn't mean it's legal and lawful and constitutional.
Well, we've gone down such a slip. Yeah, we've gone down such.
You know what I'm getting at there, right?
Yeah, we've gone down such a slippery slope of just blanket powers being given to the president to do whatever he wants. And somehow this is all supposed to be under the law. Now, I love it. I love it because I can tell you, I'm not a prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet, but I can tell you the next step in this dance. You ready?
Go for it.
Okay. We as conservatives have gone bananas saying, we've got to stop this guy. He can't just be using his presidential powers this way, and we've got to do something about it. And nothing's been done. He has been the lawless one. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as soon as a conservative of equal willfulness gets in there and starts to try to undo what's been going on, namely Mr. Trump, they're going to start screaming, hey, you can't do this. You didn't want us to do it with Obama. Now you want You want Trump to get in there and do whatever he wants. No, we want Trump to get in there and undo what Obama did. But now you're going to start pulling the law out, deciding now it's important to put limits on the president's power. But what we're doing is we're ratcheting forward, but not back.
Right. Yeah.
In these liberal directions that are weakening our country.
Yep. Yep. We're, what's that phrase you said last week? This mess sure is a mess.
This mess sure is a mess.
Yep. Let's move on to something a little more happy, Jim.
Please. It stinks in here. I mean, this politics stuff, it's just, hang on, what, wait.
There you go. You got it. I had asked you earlier, we had talked back in one of the early shows about prepping and tools and such, and we were talking about the Baofeng two-way radios. And
yes.
You ordered a couple of them.
Yes, I did.
Have you had a chance to test them out, play with them a little bit?
Just a little bit.
And give us a review, first-hand review.
Well, I really need to do a lot more with them, okay. But so far I'm very, very pleased. I went into the NOAA. You've got a couple of modes. You got a channel mode, and you've got a you've got a frequency mode. So I went into frequency mode, and I typed in 162.550, which is the NOAA radio frequency for ongoing and current weather reports.
Right.
And that's very cool. I haven't had a chance to do anything else with it, but I've only had to charge the thing up once, and it's the battery seems to have a good life, like we had heard in some of the reviews we looked at.
Yeah.
And so far I'm very happy, but I think this is a topic worth revisiting.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. I love mine.
I will say is the gentleman to whom I gave the shout out, Sir Joseph Martin, sent me some videos off of YouTube for preparing for my technician class test.
Oh, okay. That's the first license, right? That's the one I have as a first license.
That is the first license.
Yeah. Yep. I'm KD0CIJ, by the way.
KD0ZIJ.
CIJ.
CIJ.
Yep. Yep. Kurtman is Jason. That's what, yeah.
yes.
One way to remember it, yeah. So, I've had a lot of fun with mine. There you go, tuning in. I've had a lot of
tuning
fun.
Tuning in.
Once you get your license, you really need to apply, download, and get the license. When I say license, software license, to use a program called Echolink, which is...
Yes.
Have you seen any of the videos on it?
No, I haven't. I did get the Echolink app for my cell phone.
It's awesome. Excuse me. I'll tell you this. Back when I was playing around with it quite a bit, it's like Skype for ham radio operators. It's VoIP, voice over internet.
Protocol. You know what? I may be thinking of a different thing.
What are you thinking of?
I was thinking of an app that I have that tells me about the repeaters that are in the area.
Yeah, that's a different program.
That's the repeater book. That's what that is. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yours is
Echolink,
what was it called again?
It's like for people who don't have a radio but still want to operate ham radios, it's called Echolink.
And okay.
You have to when you download the program, you have to take a picture. You used to have to take a picture of your license and email it to them before they would give you access. You had to be a registered user, but you can go in and you can look for other users across the world, and basically you just set up like a USB mic on your computer, and you can talk to other ham radio operators who are doing the same thing. Or some of the repeaters are actually hooked into computers. So, for example, I can call, there's one in London, a repeater in London that's hooked up to Echolink. I was actually talking to a motorist in London, downtown London, driving around. He was on a walkie-talkie. and I was talking to him from my Echolink base through the computer with him. Now, for a technician license, that's pretty cool because you can't even do that on radio waves with a technician license, except on certain bands that are kind of... You got to really know what you're doing, or you'll end up breaking the law and not even knowing it. If you try to do the DX on like 10 meter. Most ham radio operators generally use the 2 meter, which is basically the same band that law enforcement and fire departments use, which is really cool because you can play around with a radio and an antenna and just see how far you can get. I got roughly, let's see, about 240 miles away one time on 60 watts.
Nice.
Using a really, not even a expensive antenna, but I didn't, ham radio operators would kill me if they found out I did this. I stuck just a little screw-mounted antenna on top of about a 50-foot PVC pipe that I had buried into the ground about 8 feet as its base. And
PVC.
What did I say?
Oh, because it was up in... You said PVC?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just to get the height?
Just to get the height, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I ran a ground wire down and the antenna up there, had it running into my house, and I could hit from southeast Missouri almost all the way up to St. Louis. There was a repeater on the edge of St. Louis that I could hit. And when I would hit it and talk to guys up there, they were amazed at where I was coming from. And usually I'd run about 60 watts. I had hit it during good weather conditions on about 40 watts before. But it all has to do with good weather conditions. There's also a way you can set up, and you can do it too with these Baofeng radios. There's a two VHF frequencies, one to receive and one to transmit on. And it's not offset by a 10-step or 20-step like you normally would to hit a repeater. It's quite a big jump, but you can actually contact the space station.
Oh, very cool!
You can do that with the right antenna with your radio, Jim.
Nice.
Yeah, you might want to Google those frequencies and there's software that you pull it up. Not even software. I think there's even an online animation of it that when the space station comes overhead, there's a circle around the space station, and if your locale is in that circle, then you're within range.
That is very cool.
Yep. There's something else you can do with that. And I actually had this demonstrated to me, so I'm going to try to explain how it happened to the best of my detail with the most accuracy I can. There are frequencies that you can receive on the VHF 2-meter band that pick up actual satellite weather satellites. And you will hear code over the speaker when you pick them up. There is software on your computer that you can download that you can put your computer mic up to your radio speaker or a direct connect if you want. And that software will download in real time weather satellite pictures.
That is cool.
Yep. It is. I had to demonstrate. I need to do that again just for fun. I haven't done it. A guy came over to my house and showed me how to do it one time. That was about, good grief, 6 years ago. But it was really cool because I was picking up the signal and looking down and seeing everything. It was awesome. There's so much you can do with ham radio.
You're going to have to show me that.
Well, I have to find it first. Like you said, it was 6 years ago and I haven't done it since. But there's a lot of stuff you can do with ham radio. Of course, there's been times when we've had some disasters as well. Ham radio is like the last line of defense outside of smoke signals.
Right.
Because most radio operators operate with battery. Well, if the grids go down, then you're going to have some problems.
One of the cool things is a lot of the repeaters that let you reach out further have also been set up to be independent of the grid.
Yes, they have been, and some of them even have telephone patches.
Nice.
If you're a member of a club that has a repeater like that, there's some certain rules and regulations to it. You have to keep your conversation like under 5 minutes. That's one of the rules. But, yeah, you can punch in it. Once you hit the repeater, punch in a code, then dial the number you want to call. And, you know, if you have to relay emergency message to a non-licensed operator, then that's one way to do it. And good stuff. Really is good stuff. So when are you going to, do you know when you'll take your test?
I don't. Just been really busy this week. But that video, and I'd like to send you a link.
Yeah, send me a link later. Not that, a link letter, a link later.
A link letter, yeah. not children say the darndest things, right? A link later.
Yeah.
But Joe was saying that pretty much sums up everything we're supposed to know. He went and took like just prodigious notes on it, uh-huh. And he's planning on taking his test within the week.
Okay.
And I'm the one that got him interested into it recently.
Yep.
And he's going to be testing before I am.
Well, then he can give you a practice test then.
Yeah. See,
I'll tell you how I got my test. I found a website. I think it was called, at the time, freehamtestonline.com. And I don't even know if it's still open or not. But for free, for like 3 months, you could go in and you could take the test over as many times as you wanted to. And it would take all of the questions from the testing pool and give them to you randomly. I took the test so many times that I my goal was, I'm not going to take the real test until I've passed this test 100 times at 100%. And that's what I did.
Very cool.
You okay?
You know, it just occurred to me, since we're talking about it anyways, one thing that might be worth mentioning is that there is something that modern ham radio that people do not have to know in order to get their license. And what might have put some people off in the back in the old days, you know what I'm hitting for? You do not need to know Morse code.
That's
to
right.
Get your license as a ham radio operator.
Yep, that went out, I believe, around, I'm going to guess here, about 95, 96, right around there. And I remember that because I was one of the people that took the first test after they got rid of it. Actually, it might have been sooner than that. It might have been 90. I took the first test. Somebody gave me a book to take the test. And come to find out, I went and paid. I studied that book for months. Didn't really quite understand it. But I went and signed up, took the test, failed it by just a few points. And then come to find out, it was the wrong edition of the book that I had been studying. Yeah, so I kind of lost... not interest, but kind of lost my enthusiasm for it. And until I was a police chief, the chief that was there before me came in one day and asked to use my laminator. And I asked him, well, he's laminating. He said he got his new FCC license in, amateur radio. And so I was like, yeah. So I started asking him questions, and he kind of hooked me up. And actually took me down to take the test and everything. I was really interested in it at that point.
So you learn from your error. The thing that we find out in life is to err is human, to R is pirate.
I knew that was coming. I was waiting for it. Okay, well, Jim, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's hit... we were going to do a new segment last week and we didn't get to. We're going to try to do this every week. App of the Week. And let's do this. Let's do this from now on, Jim, since you're an Android man, and I'm an ISO man, iPad man, not IP man, iPad man.
Ipman.
What's that app that you're using right now?
Oh, yes, that one. It is called Hundreds of Buttons and Sounds, Ultimate HD.
Okay, so a great app for your kids to play with in church. No, I'm just kidding. At the funeral home. Oh, that would be more
appropriate. There you go. Yeah. No, that'd be great.
So, no.
For church?
Yeah. That's like giving your kid a new set of drums, right? Anyway. So you all know what it does because Jim's demonstrated it for you. Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, there's just certain things you want to, certain buttons you might want to avoid in church.
Okay. Say no more. Got it. I found an app last week. I have been, actually, me and one of the security officers where I work, twice in one day, both of us, got a call from an IRS scammer.
And I've gotten a few of those.
Yeah, the phone comes in on a caller ID as a Washington, D.C. number, but it's not. It's routed through, telling you you owe money to the IRS. They're going to arrest you unless you make a small payment right then and there. So I got that, and then...
Now, let me ask you, did the person have an accent that even suggested for a moment that they were calling from America?
No, not at all. You owe money to us, you make a payment. You know, that's...
You owe money to us, please make payment, or we shall have to garnish your entire life. Thank you very much.
Garnish your entire life. That's, yeah. So, between that and between Wilford Brimley clones trying to sell me diabetes supplies...
It's the right thing to do and the tasty way to do it.
You're thinking of the oats. So
yes,
anyway.
Yes, I was.
Anyway, I decided I've had my phone number now for 5 or 6 years. It's been published just about everywhere you can think of to publish it. And I decided, you know what, I need a break from this. I decided, I ended up going a different route, but at first, to delay some of this, I downloaded an app called Mr. Number, which is really, really cool. You get a phone call, and the way it was working for me was if it's activated and the number comes in and it's one that's already reported as spam or fraud, you can set it to automatically disconnect the call. Or if it's one... that's not flagged, but somebody might have reported it, but it's not set for that. I wouldn't answer it, but then put in the number and find out what it is, and then you can block it. So even if, even if a family member you don't want to speak to calls in, you can type that number in and block that number too.
You know the app I want to see? I want to see the app that identifies telemarketers and cycles them into an endless loop of pushing buttons to get through an automated...
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
That would be... I'd be sitting back just... loving that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, but this Mr. Number app, great app. So, but I'll just tell you, I decided to take the shorter version. I called my service and had them change my number. So
that'll do.
It cost me $15, but I figure, hey, if I get a year's peace of mind out of it, I'm good with it. So
sure.
I've got, what's that old phrase? Ain't nobody got time for that or whatever.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right. And anyway, let's see. We've got enough time, Jim, to polish off with our weekly tradition.
Alrighty.
Today, air date. Go ahead with that, Jim. Saturday, July 30th.
Uh-oh.
Did you lose your tracker?
My Saturday 30th. This is weird.
Okay, well, I'll roll with it until you can get it up. It's,
I've got it up, but it's showing something different.
Well, I'm showing Saturday. Refresh it at the top. Maybe your cookies have not been...
Yes.
...cooled off. I'll go ahead and go with Saturday, July 30th, National Cheesecake Day, for all you Golden Girls fans out there. That's your holiday. National Father-in-Law Day. I didn't really get a chance to know my father-in-law. He died about just a few weeks after I was married. National Dance Day. It's always the last Saturday in July. I don't dance.
Go ahead.
I don't dance, but if I could, I'd want to dance like Jackie Wilson.
I was kind of thinking Danny Kaye.
Yeah, he had a set of hoofers on him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He could move. July 31st, National Raspberry Cake Day.
Raspberries.
And it's raspberries.
I like raspberry tea. That's good stuff there.
Raspberry tea is good.
Yep.
And National Mutt Day.
National Mutt Day. Love your mutt.
Love your mutt.
Yep. Take her out for something special.
Whoa!
August 1st, moving right along. National Raspberry Cream Pie Day. What's with raspberries?
I don't know.
They had me at cream pie. They didn't need the raspberries.
I wonder if they're coming into season or something.
National Girlfriends Day. I thought that was... No. National Girl... National... What in the world? Usually I research these a little bit better, but I didn't, unfortunately. National Minority Donor Awareness Day. Are we going to donate minorities? I don't know what that is.
I got no idea.
I love this one. Respect for Parents Day.
There you go.
Set my alarm for that one. Call Mom and Dad. Yep, going to do that. Okay, Jim. August 2nd, which is Tuesday.
I was keeping the holiday and didn't even know it. National Coloring Book Day.
Keeping the holiday and didn't. You're telling me you're not a fan of these adult coloring books?
Well, I haven't been, but I did figured I'd try it.
Well, it's different if you got kids and you're doing that with them.
Well, I was. In fact, my daughter picked it out, but
okay,
I can like it too.
You don't go into your room and do this by yourself, though, do you?
I haven't even started yet. I just got it.
My name is Jim, and I color. Okay. No, I have a problem with this.
Hi, Jim!
You can go to Staples, office supply stores, where adults go in to get stuff they need for work, and find a stack of adult coloring books. What's wrong with America? Come on.
Look who you got running for office.
You're right. Okay. But there's something wrong with, you know, when 26-year-old kids, 20, I'll just say it, 18 to 26 or whatever age, you know, if I'm in a nursing home, yeah, give me a coloring book. It beats listening to Martha talking about her cat she had 16 years ago. Anyway, let's just go. What's the next day? I lost my point. Oh, am I on this one or are you? You are. Continue on.
Wait. No, it was National Coloring Book Day. That was you.
No, it was you.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't it? I'll go with it.
Whichever. National Ice Cream Sandwich Day.
That's a good day. I like that day.
And National Night Out Day? Night Day? Oh,
Night
run
Out
with it.
Day. I think
Night
that's,
Out Day.
I'll have to check with my friend Randy Myers because I think he's really big into this. This is a night where they have, I could be mistaken on this, but I think I'm correct, first Tuesday in August. This is focused around law enforcement, where blocks have parties outdoors. At night, you put a blue light in your window, and it's to promote community safety.
Okay.
That's what it's all about. August 3rd, National Watermelon Day.
I likes it.
Yeah, my dad used to tell a story about, I think it was my Uncle Lewis, that had a watermelon patch, and somebody kept stealing the watermelons. And so he put a sign out in the patch that said, one of these watermelons has been poisoned. A couple of days later, he went out, and there was another sign that said, now two of them have been. So, Wednesday, I sent this to my friend Mike Shinneberry today. That's why you're here, Jim. National Grab Some Nuts Day. Yeah. We got a lot of nut farms around here. Pistachios are the thing here.
That's not nice to talk about the proprietors of those establishments.
No. They'll tell you they're all a little nutty.
So, yes, well.
What do we got coming up Thursday?
National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
Another good day. Why are all...
Yes.
So many of these days are just nothing but... fattening.
Mm-hmm.
And then
there is where to go. National Coast Guard Day. I live over here next to Selfridge Air National Guard Base, and I've always thought it's kind of cool to see those bright orange helicopters just buzzing out to go help people. I thought that was just unbearably cool.
Yep. My cousin's husband was in the National Guard. Used to tell some fantastic stories about drug interdiction.
Yes.
And those guys do a great job. Fantastic job. All right, August 5th, next Friday. I'm trying not to snicker like a 5-year-old. It is National Underwear Day. And unrelated, and I'm sure, National Oyster Day. Do you like oysters?
Not so much.
I can take them or leave them.
I can take them or leave them.
But most of the time I take them, I end up leaving them.
You know, if you're talking about some fried clams or something like that, I could go there.
I like the things that's all right. What are they? The mussels on the half shell in the Chinese restaurants with the cream cheese on them? I like those.
I'm having trouble picturing those.
No? Okay. Well, they might not have them up north. Here they've got like these mussels on a half shell. They've got like a cream cheese and some kind of sauce on it. And they're really good. They're really good. I could easily eat the cheese and the sauce without the mussel, but good stuff. Have you ever had calamari?
Yes, I have.
How do you like that?
That I like. And you go to the Chinese restaurant, and they have... there's this one I used to go to with my wife when we were dating over in Windsor, and they had what they called Cantonese fried noodles with mixed meat. And they'd have a little bit of beef, a little bit of pork, a little bit of chicken. Strangely enough, I didn't care for the octopus, but the squid was really, really good on that. And they'd pan fry these noodles until they were crispy, had a nice light brown sauce on it. Oh my goodness, that was fantastic.
I like the calamari because it's cut up in rings. You don't have to look at the anatomy, so to speak. One time was in a restaurant. I think I tried it, if I remember. I got that they had a dish with these little tiny baby octopuses in it. My brother will eat the whole thing. Just, you know, plop it in, chew it a couple of times, which is kind of pointless. You can't.
Yeah, but see, not. Yeah, every time you do that, there's some little baby octopus at home going, "Mama, what's Daddy coming home?"
You sound a lot like Robin Williams there.
That's who I got that from.
Okay. But, I just couldn't do those things, especially anything. I kind of have this rule. I don't eat anything that's looking back at me while I'm eating it.
No.
And that's why if I go to a restaurant, and I like trout, but I will always ask them, do you leave the head on? If they do, I don't order it. I suppose I could ask them to take it off, but I don't. And I found out where that came from, the tradition of leaving the head on the trout. Did you know about this?
No.
Years ago, trout was a delicacy, and a lot of restaurants would pass off another fish as trout when it wasn't. So the clientele got in the habit of asking them to leave the head on it so that they could prove that it was a real trout.
Ah.
Well, nowadays it doesn't really, you know, who cares? You know, I don't think anybody would go that far. You know, if I order beef, I'm going to put my, you know, I don't need anything left on the burger. No thanks.
Right. No, leave that alone. Yep.
So that about covers it. Jim, I think we're going to wrap up for the day. Did you have anything else you want to add or discuss before we close out?
Well, since we mentioned Vincent Price.
Oh, you got something for us.
Oh, come on.
Do you have a sound clip of him, Jim?
Oh, no. Were you able to hear that at all?
Nope, not at all.
I messed up horribly.
That's all right.
I had it go through my headphones.
Oh, okay.
I will fix that for next time.
Awesome. Next week on the show, Vincent Price, back from the
Vincent
dead, folks.
Price.
You heard it here.
There you go.
With that, we will bid you all a great day. We hope you all have a fantastic Saturday. And God bless, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.